Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Men and women in our sinful condition often view drawing near to God as a simple matter of choosing to do so. It is as if we are far from God because we have been careless and indifferent and preoccupied. But if we will just change those attitudes, we can easily draw near to God, which betrays a lack of understanding of who God is and who we are. Drawing near to God is not an easy matter. In fact, it is an impossible matter on man's end of the equation. It is only possible because God has made it possible. And because God is the one who has made it possible, then it is imperative that we pay close attention to what He says about drawing near to Himself. Since we can't do it in our ability, in our end of the equation, we are helpless, we are unable. It's like being at the bottom of a well without a rope and no way to get up. We cannot get up. We cannot claw our way up to God. God has to throw the rope down to us, and we need to pay very careful attention to what God says about that rope and about how we get up the well to come near to God. And that's what 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 will help us with if we will give it some attention. And so to that end, we continue studying this text on the Beacon Broadcast. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, August 12. And as always, we are dependent upon the gifts of our radio listeners to maintain this teaching ministry on this station. Well, here's what Peter says about drawing near to God, coming to God. 1 Peter 2:4, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Well, the first thing to understand about drawing near to God is to whom do we come? Who exactly are we coming to? We say, well, God. We're coming to God. We're drawing near to God. But, as the Bible makes very clear, we come to God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus is very clear about this when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by Me. We hear it, but do we believe it? No man comes to the Father but by Me. And it is by coming to Christ that we come to God. It's not so much that we come to Christ as a way of coming to God, though I suppose there are times when it's appropriate to think of it that way. But we really need to think of it as coming to Christ, we come to God. In that very chapter where Jesus gave that statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Me. The following conversation with His disciples makes this point abundantly clear. If you had known Me, He says, you would have known My Father also, and from now on you know Him and have seen Him. So He links Himself and His Father. Coming to Him is coming to the Father. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him,
Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?
So in that statement, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that when he said, no man comes to the Father but by me, he was not presenting himself as a way to the Father, as if we come to the Father through Jesus Christ. We have to come, there are two steps. We come to Christ first, and then we can get to the Father. But he is saying, unless you come to me, you will not ever get to the Father. Well, that's could fit into the first statement that I just made. But here's more to the point. When you come to me, you've come to the Father. It's not two steps. It's just one. When you come to me, you come to the Father. This is so vitally important. I've had some dialogue in the last year or so with someone who is very interested in bridging a gap between Christians and Muslims. And he's starting with the premise that the Christian God and the Muslim God are just two different names for the same God. The Muslims call him Allah, we call him God, or perhaps Jehovah, or the Father, but it's all the ones, the same God. That's the first premise, which is a false premise. And when you start with a false premise, then of course you are going to come to a wrong conclusion. But beyond that, then, he seems to be convinced that if a Muslim says he believes in Jesus, then he is as much linked to the same Father as the Christian who believes in Jesus. But when you press him a little bit to find out if that Muslim believes that Jesus is God, you run into a dead end, because the Muslim who says he believes in Jesus does not believe that Jesus is God. He believes that Jesus is a prophet, like Moses and like Muhammad. Although, in his theology, Muhammad is a superior prophet. So, there you've got a problem right there. If Jesus is inferior to Muhammad, and Muhammad is not God, Muslims do not consider Muhammad to be God. They consider Muhammad to be God's prophet, and they consider Muhammad to be God's final prophet, God's superior prophet, God's ultimate prophet, you might say. But they reverence, they honor, they respect Jesus Christ as a prophet of God. Then it is erroneous to say that because they believe in Jesus, because they honor Jesus, that they have come to God just like the Christian who honors Jesus, because this text in John chapter 14 makes it very clear that the only way to come to the Father is to come to Jesus Christ as the Father. Now that a Muslim will never do, unless he relinquishes his Muslim theology and replaces it with biblical theology. A Muslim will never acknowledge that Jesus Christ is God, or to put it in the language that we're talking about now, that we're using, that Jesus Christ is Allah. That would be blasphemy. They wouldn't even call Muhammad Allah. They certainly aren't going to call Jesus Christ Allah. But that's the point. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 14. Have you been so long with me, Philip, that you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. That's the claim that Jesus made. That's what he was saying when he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He was saying not that you come to me, step number one, and that gets you to the Father, step number two, but he's saying you come to me as God, and when you come to me, then you have come to the Father. You've come to God. That is vitally important. And by explaining that in contrast with Muslim theology, I hope that makes it clear even for people who have not considered Muslim theology, because the same truths need to be emphasized in some churches, in all churches actually,
and particularly in those churches that have also depreciated the biblical presentation, the biblical understanding of who Jesus is. And to deceive yourself into thinking that because you give some honor to Jesus, you acknowledge his great life, you acknowledge his great teachings, you call yourself a Christian because you believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ in some kind of nebulous and general sense, of course carefully picking and choosing which ones you believe in and which ones you don't, but you're happy to call yourself a Christian in that sense, but you are not willing to believe in Jesus Christ as God, then you have not believed in Jesus. You're only kidding yourself to think that you have, and you have not come to God. You have no understanding of God. You have no way to worship God. You have no relationship with God. You are estranged from God. You are alienated from God. You are separated from God because you have to come to God through Jesus Christ, acknowledging that he is God. And when you come to Jesus Christ in this way, then you have come to God. You have come to the Father. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And back to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, we read, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So to whom do we come when we come to God? We're talking about drawing near to God. To whom do we come when we come near to God? We come to a living stone, who is none other than Jesus Christ, rejected indeed by men. That's talking of the history of Christ upon the earth and how indeed he was rejected of men and continues to be rejected of men. So we come to a living stone, number one, and we come to a rejected stone, number two. And we have to realize that we're coming to someone who is not generally acceptable to most people. In Christ's day, the general estimate of Jesus Christ found him wanting, examined, tested, and rejected. But most of the people of his day were not willing to accept him for who he claimed to be. Again, if he would stop making these, to them, outrageous claims about being one with the Father, they would let him be some kind of a rabbi, some kind of a teacher. They would give him some kind of a position. He actually was, obviously, a very remarkable man. And therefore, they were happy to give him that place as an extraordinary teacher. And some would even acknowledge that he had truly performed miracles. It seemed pretty difficult to deny them. The evidence was all around, though some still insisted upon denying it. But to accept his claims that he is God, absolutely not. Then you can't have Jesus. And you can't have the benefits of his life and of his substitutionary death. You don't have a Savior. You don't have a Redeemer, because that's who he is. He came as the Messiah. He came as the Redeemer. He came as the Savior. And he is God himself who has become our Savior. And that's what you must understand and believe. That's what you must embrace in order to have his salvation. But most people are not willing to accept him in that way. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.